2010. I'd like to thank you all for joining us this evening for what we hope will be a very informative meeting. At this moment, would you all please stand with us and rise and have a moment of silence for a loved one that's recently passed, and then we'll have our flag salute as well. Thank you. Mr. Keff, would you do us the honor of leading us in the flag salute this evening? Please be seated. Lori, whenever you're ready, roll call.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Here.
Mayor Scholl.
Here.
Commissioner Alex.
Here.
Commissioner Bloom.
Here.
Commissioner Coleman.
Here.
Mr. LeFerrier.
Here. Jurisdiction of this council. Please understand that we cannot take action or any item that is not on the agenda. Is anyone here that would like to address the council or commission during public communication this evening? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close public communications and bring it back to the council and the commission, and we are going to go into regular business. And this is the first and I think only item on our agenda this evening. This is the status report on the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center. And so before we start with this presentation, I want to make sure that we understand the framework of which this meeting is going to proceed. And that way, hopefully, we can do this in an orderly manner and we won't keep everyone here late this evening. We have been for many years, and I'm not going to go into the details, working on the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center. And tonight is the EIR is coming out and being available for public review and comment. So I'm going to turn this over to the city manager, who will cover the history of this effort. He will then, I believe, turn it over to a representative of the company that was selected to partner with the city and state on this project. She will give you a description of the project, give you lots of information. This is a more of a informational update. It will talk about the documents as well as the schedule. And so when the time comes, you can limit your questions to process and procedures. It would be very helpful as we go forward. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to City Manager Perrault.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council and the Planning Commission. As the mayor has already indicated, this project has been on the books for quite some time. In fact, it has been reviewed at various points for the last 30 years. If you go back to the 1982 general plan approved by the state for the state park area, you'll find that this project is at least identified in that plan. Our local coastal plan, originally approved back in the 90s and again updated in 2000, also references this project in this particular location. So it has been a project that's been on the planning boards for a very long time. The city has viewed this project as being an economic catalyst as we go forward and revitalize the city of Grover Beach. It really began to make progress in 2006 when the City Entrance Center to be built and operated by a professional concessionaire. That developer and we then went through an RFP process and selected Pacifica as the development partner for the project. We are really just coming to a head of what you would call the planning phase. What has happened and transpired at this point is Pacifica has completed the schematic design for the project, and the schematic design will essentially provide the information relative to the project description as the project goes through the planning process. Tonight, you'll be updated with an overview of the project, You'll hear some discussion regarding the EIR, the release of the EIR, and the ability to comment on that EIR as part of the process. And then you'll hear what the planning schedule is. This item is being presented to the Council and the Planning Commission as the Mayor indicated, as an informational report only. The project itself is not before the Council nor the Planning Commission, and this is the general public. And therefore, the direction relative to the questions was to try and limit those questions to procedure and process at this particular point. As you'll note, later on in the planning process, the project will be brought back for a complete public hearing after the turn, probably about mid-spring of next year, and we'll go over that as well. At this point, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce Allison Rolfe, who will take us through an overview of the project.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mayor, Chairman Long, members of the Council, and members of the Planning Commission, thank you so much for the opportunity to present to you tonight and to present to the public as well. It's an exciting moment to be giving a status report on the project. We've been working hard to get to this point. We actually have something to show you now. So I'm looking forward to showing you the pictures of what we're proposing. A few slides of text, but mostly pictures. My name is Allison Rolfe, and I'm the project manager for the Grover Beach Lodge project, and I'm the planning director at Pacifica Companies. We're a large real estate investment firm and developer, and our corporate office is in San Diego. We have over 30 hotels. That would be great. Thank you. So I'm having difficulty advancing the slide, and I'm sure it's probably
Bruce,
my
can you help her?
Technological.
It's probably the.
I know why. That's not
oh, thank you. Perfect. All right, thank you. So my presentation tonight will consist of four components. First, I'll just give you a brief background on how we got to where we are today, and then I'll go over some of the project objectives. I'll show you some photos and artist renderings and depictions of the project, and then I'll conclude with the anticipated schedule as we move forward. So starting with the background, as was mentioned by the city manager, Pacifica Companies responded to a request for proposals that was put out in August of 2007. And the request for proposals included goals such as the city and state parks were looking for a developer to build a first-class lodge and conference facility at the site. They were looking for the project to be LEED Silver, which, for those of you who don't know, it's basically the Good Housekeeping seal of approval for sustainable development facilities, which I'll talk more about when we get to the slides with the visuals, and also to protect the resources, both the wetland and the dune habitats. And we submitted a proposal in response to the request for proposals, and we were awarded the contract after we met the requirements and posted a performance bond. And in fact, the last time I was here, I was in front of the City Council, I believe. I don't know that the Planning Commission was a part of that, but we were awarded the contract at that time. And ever since then, we first spent a significant amount of time just negotiating and executing the contract. And then we moved into development of the goals and objectives and the conceptual and schematic plans. And just recently, we had our schematic design stage of this process formally approved by the Joint Authority. And I'd just like to take a moment before I move on to thank your staff who've worked so hard to get us to this point. The city manager has been very involved. Bruce Buckingham has been incredible. Martin, the city attorney, has done an incredible job. We really feel that this is a truly collaborative effort, and we've been very grateful for that. And also the state parks representatives, a couple of them are here, and they're hiding, but we're truly, and the state parks representatives as well. In fact, we meet with the JA on a regular basis, and we have conference calls about once a month. Okay, Now, moving on. With the input of the JA, we've been developing the goals for the plan as well as the plan itself. So I'm just going to start really quickly with some of the goals. What we've settled on is a 150-room hotel. So as I mentioned, the RFP requested 135 to 150 room. We've settled on a 150-room hotel with a couple of things I'm very excited to tell you about, a second-story pool deck. And that's in order to really take advantage of the ocean views, which can't be seen from the first floor. So we're putting as many of the public amenities in the area where people can really get the views. So the pool is going to be a second-story pool deck with a lounge and small restaurant by the pool. We also have a full-service restaurant on the first floor, as well as almost 20,000 square feet of indoor. And when you add the outdoor conference space, it's even more than that. And I'll get down to the breakdown of square footages in just a minute. In addition to the hotel itself and those amenities I just described, we've also been comprehensively planning the site to incorporate a master planning effort. I'm not master planning and formulate the economic growth of Grover Beach in accordance with the city's long-term plans. We're also trying to preserve and enhance visitor and resident access to and along the coast. We're adding public pathways. We're enhancing pedestrian access. We're adding a beach drop-off area, and we're improving the picnic areas. We'll also increase the number and attractiveness of visitor-serving accommodations. One of the things that the city of Grover Beach doesn't have is a full-service hotel. So we're adding 150 rooms to the pool of rooms that are now available in Grover Beach. And we're providing regional conference facilities that will serve the larger area. The project will also complement the completed and planned improvements along Grand Avenue. And finally, the project will also, as I mentioned earlier, incorporate environmentally sound design features and as well as business practices. And those are consistent with both the conservation goals of state parks as well as the California Coastal Commission, and they reflect the environmental sensitivity of this part of the world, California coastline. So let me just tell you about a few of the details, and then we'll get into the pictures. So the improvements are broken down as follows on this slide. We've got over 3,000 square feet of downstairs in square feet of function rooms, and that includes the indoor conference center as well as outdoor flex space that can be used for conference gatherings. We have 180,000 square feet of landscaping and 255 parking spaces that are for the hotel, as well as no net loss of the existing parking for the public, which is 160 spaces. So in total, it's 415 spaces, and that doesn't include the equestrian staging area we're going to be developing as well, which I'll show you in just a moment. And we're also, as I mentioned earlier, making some enhancements and reconfiguration of the state parks facilities, which you'll see in a moment. So just to give you a sense of where this project is, the project is located at the terminus of West Grand Avenue. This is Grand Avenue here, and this is Highway 1. And we're on the north side of Grand Avenue, and this is the Finn's Restaurant. This is it's the Pismo Golf Course. That's what it's called, Pismo. Okay. And you can see the project boundary here in red incorporates not only this undeveloped area here where the lodge is going to be primarily located, but it also includes some of the state parks facilities adjacent to the plan. This is straight out of the environmental impact report, and I'm sorry that it's hard to see, but when you get your copy of the environmental impact report, you'll be able to take a closer look. The purpose of this slide is just to show you that the project is divided up into areas. Area A is essentially the private hotel development. Area B is state parks facilities, which are included in our master planning effort, but not directly hotel. They're actually facilities that include Finn's, the golf course, and Area C is the equestrian staging area. Area D is a proposed new location for the sewer dump station, which currently exists out on that developed site in this general area. And we're proposing to relocate it to the North Beach Campground at Highway 1 in Pismo Beach. Okay, so this is the project, and I'd like to just walk you through it. Building one is this building here in the middle, and this is the central feature of the hotel project. This is the entrance here from West Grand Avenue. This is the main driveway. Turn around here at the entrance to the hotel. And building one is the building that includes the rise, the views. And buildings two and three, these two buildings, only contain guest rooms. They each contain 39 guest rooms. The parking is located in this area, as well as reconfiguration of the parking over here by Finn's and a reconfiguration of the parking over here by the golf course. But as I mentioned before, it totals 415 spaces here and here, and that doesn't include the additional spaces over here, which are for equestrian use. Some of the improvements we're making to the adjacent state parks facilities include a reconfiguration of the area, which is now the picnic area that's mostly paved with very little shade. We feel it's underutilized and the area could actually be improved to make it a more enticing area for visitors. And so what we've done is we've extended the boardwalk with picnic platforms on either side of the boardwalk, some of which will be covered, others will be wooden decks out in the dunes. And we also, the wall that exists, that's a hard break here, we're actually in such a way that the dunes are pulled into the project from the west and the wetlands are pulled into the project from the east. And we're going to create sort of a mosaic, as you can see here, between the dark green and the light green of habitat types as they sort of come back in through the site. In fact, there are decks off of many of the rooms and portions of the hotel, which will be built on pile foundations so that the dunes can actually come in under the deck. So you'll really feel almost as if the buildings are floating in the dunes rather than a hard impact on the landscape. In addition, we're adding a public drop-off area here for the beach, so people can drop off all their gear and park, you know, back in the public area here. We're showing a new concessions building off of Finn's here. That's something that can be taken up by state parks in the future if they'd like to. We're basically just coming up with conceptual ideas to improve the whole area. We will be relocating the putting green slightly in order to accommodate this building, and we'll also be relocating the event tent slightly. And one of the things we envision happening is weddings and events out on any of walking along this pathway. They won't feel like they're walking through a parking lot. It's going to have a different texture. And there's a kiosk right here, which will be both a wetlands sort of outlook as well as an interpretive center. I'm going to show you some more pictures, but if anybody has any questions, please feel free to. I can come back to this slide and show you some more. There's so much I could point out, but I think that gives you the gist of it. We had an artist do a rendering to try to give people a sense of what this building is going to look like. And this is that pedestrian walkway as you're approaching the main lodge from the southeast. So the main entrance to the hotel is here. You can see the pool deck sticking out just over here in this corner. And that's actually where the lounge is and the bar. So we envision, hopefully, members of the community walking here for a cocktail in the evening to watch the sunset. The view will be spectacular from the second story. And this is building three. Building two you can't see in this picture. This is another view of the main lodge from the southwest, looking right down onto the pool deck. And as you can see, what we're trying to do is create, again, sort of the wetlands habitat and the dunes meeting public a sense of what this hotel will look like. So this is an existing view right now from the corner of Grand Avenue and Highway 1 looking west. And this is the same view with the hotel layered on top of it. So you can get a sense of what the two buildings will look like as you look down the west of look down West Grand Avenue. You can't see all three buildings from this view. This is another angle from the corner of Highway 1 and LeSage looking west. So this is the existing view. This is the proposed view down Lesage. This is the view from the beach. Actually, looking south on the existing boardwalk, this is what it looks like today. This is the proposed lodge, and that's the view. And this is, if you're standing on the beach looking east, what it looks like today, what it will look like in the future with the lodge in place. And in conclusion, I just wanted to cover our schedule for the immediate future. As mentioned, the draft environmental impact report is being released for public comment in the next couple of days. It'll be out for 45 days, so please be sure to take a look at it and send us your... Immediately preceding that, there will be a planning commission hearing and then a city council hearing. And the city council will hopefully happen in April or May of 2011. And immediately after city council, we'll forward the project to the California Coastal Commission. Unfortunately, we can't control their docket, so we don't know exactly the date of that hearing. But obviously, we'll push to have it happen as quickly as possible. And hopefully, some of you will support us in making sure we get on their docket as quickly as we can. And we actually go to Coastal Commission in two steps. First, to get something called a local coastal program amendment, and then to get our coastal development permit, which will be consistent with the coastal program, local coastal plan. So hopefully it should speed things along a little bit. And that's the conclusion of my presentation. But as I said, if I've skipped over anything, please feel free to ask me questions. Thanks again.
Allison, don't go very far. Nice presentation. So what I'd like to do is just see if the council or commissions have questions. And I want to, again, emphasize that we're not looking for questions to say why this architectural style or why this treatment, because what is presented to us this evening is the applicants and the JA's proposed project. That is evaluated in the EIR along with, raise your hand and I'll give you the floor, Laurel.
It's a wonderful presentation of what is to come, and very excited about seeing it come to fruition.
Thank you.
There was one of the photos. I was just curious, the view looking southwest, and the one where it shows the lodge in place, but then it still has the fence. The chain link fence. Are there plans of doing any landscaping or anything right there on the very corner by the street light, the bottom photograph?
So I have the right photograph?
Yes.
That property on the corner there of Highway 1 and Grand Avenue is privately owned by another company. So it's not included in our planning area.
Okay.
And there are no improvements proposed as part of this project. I don't know if Bruce or Bob want to add anything to that?
Bruce, did you have anything you wanted to add? Very good.
Okay.
Okay, I'm working my way back down left. So Commissioner Long.
Thanks for your presentation, Allison.
Thank you.
It's exciting. Can't believe that we're at this stage. I had a scheduling question for you.
Yes, it does. What will transpire is ultimately that's what will the whole application will come before the commission and council, but you don't have the ability to you essentially approve or recommend approval, if you will, of that LCP amendment. It is then forwarded to the Coastal Commission, who has to be the final decision maker on that. But yes, the EIR will be certified prior to that happening.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Councilmember LaFerrier, did you have?
Commissioner Coleman pretty much asked my question. Are we doing comments or just questions?
Just questions at this point.
Okay, I'll come back for comments.
Very good. Jan, do you have something?
Yes. The wetlands area. Around here, a lot of times, winter, it's real wet, and they're dry during the summer. Are you going to be pumping water into this area?
Thank you for that question. It's a great one. I'm just going to go back to this slide. So what we have done is the Meadow Creek area, we have included a 50-foot buffer in the Meadow Creek area. And one of the things that we are including in the proposal is an infiltration basin. These are located strategically in order to capture the runoff from a roof on a particular building, for example. And we have an infiltration basin that's runs along the length of Meadow Creek, and it's meant to capture much of the runoff that comes from the parking lot, but portions of our parking lot are likely to be permeable. We're going to look into permeable pavement as well as asphalt. However, the biofiltration basin is designed for the purpose of capturing runoff and treating it so that it doesn't go into Meadow Creek untreated.
So my question is, the mm-hmm. water that's around the hotel, mm-hmm. you show it like a lake almost.
I see.
It will dry up in the winter?
Correct.
Or during the summer?
Sorry, I misunderstood. Yes, okay. It will be dry at times and wet at times.
Okay.
Correct.
Councilmember Monar.
Yes, thank you. Very good presentation. I've come into this late, only being newly appointed. I just have a couple questions. The current boardwalk, it has fencing, so it keeps people out of the dunes. You talked about pulling the dunes in. So a lot of people, they want to keep those dunes protected. With your plan, do you have that in mind?
Yes, thanks very much for asking. Our plan is to actually enhance the environment in the area. Creating an interpretive signs and clear pathways is keeping people on the pathways so that they're not going into the dunes and creating informal pathways. But it's definitely our goal to actually create more dunes rather than impacting them.
Okay. The other question I have is, is this project going to have any green things about it, such as solar? Or I know you've already talked about recirculating the water, mm-hmm. but that's a thought about the future.
Yes, thanks so much for asking. I actually thought about including a slide to identify the green features of this project, but since we're in the schematic design phase, we haven't nailed down all of these specifics yet, but I can tell you that we are going to be doing a LEED silver building. And so, as I mentioned before, LEED is kind of the state-of-the-art good housekeeping seal of approval for green construction. And you can get green certification, LEED certification, but then the next level up is silver, and then there's gold and platinum. So we're definitely going for silver. If we can get gold or platinum, we'll try for it. But it's our intention to make it a green building. We're also using something called LID, which stands for Low Impact Development Techniques, and that's part of our civil engineering plan. And we'll be beating Title 24 by some amount, I'm sure. Title 24 is the existing California energy standard. And probably through solar hot, I'm quite sure we'll do solar hot water heating for the pool. We'll probably do some hot water heating for the basic water use, and we may do PV as well.
Thank you.
Councilmember Peterson.
Thank you, Councilmember Molnar. You covered some of my questions. And I know that one of the stated goals is to incorporate the environmentally sound design features, and I know that often those kinds of design features actually have economic benefits, and so delighted to see that partnership with State Parks and the city in doing that. And a couple of other things that arise, I'm wondering if part of that would be looking at doing anything to help the hardscape be maybe permeable so that you recapture some of the rainfall and we don't lose that permeability?
Thank you for asking. We originally planned all of the paved areas to be permeable. Mm. This is something we're going to have to determine as we get into design development. One of the most recent things we've encountered is the cost of permeable pavement and pavers and planters.
Thank you. And also, I think you've addressed this in the past, and I'm wondering if you could refresh my memory on this. Native plants, are you planning to use native, or not California native, but Grover Beach native plants in the landscaping?
We are. In fact, State Parks has several experts in this area who reviewed our landscape plan, and so our landscape architect has actually traveled up here to meet with some of the local folks, and he'll continue to do that. We're planning on using native plants. Definitely non-invasive plants. Mm. And I think in some circumstances, there's some hybrids that he's proposing that are somewhat ornamental in conjunction with the natives. But as I mentioned, the dune restoration portion of our project, that'll be native plants, as will the habitat restoration along Meadow Creek.
Right. And then finally, I know back about 2.5 years ago, there was the Economic Vitality Corporation funded a study about tourism and identified one of the biggest needs of the county was to have a conference center. And one thing that I haven't discovered yet is, and I apologize for not giving you advance notice of this question, but how does this conference center compete with other conference centers in the county in terms
of just to kick off the environmental process? So a lot of us are seeing this document for the first time. The commission is really getting a thorough description of the project today for the first time. So that's a really good question, and I think I don't know if it'll be addressed in the hour, but if it's not, then maybe staff can come back at a subsequent time with some of that.
And I may be able to get some of that from the VCB too.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols. And I think Councilman Bright, you did not have a question. Okay, and I don't have any. It's all been asked, and a really good job of describing the project. Everyone, we want you to understand this is the applicant's proposed project. It has got to go through the CEQA process and public hearings before the Planning Commission, the City Council, and the Coastal Commission. And so there is a probability that things may change. However, it is the project as presented by the applicant team tonight. So with that, let's move on to discussion of the actual EIR, and we're going to get that from Bruce Buckingham this evening.
Good evening. Just to give you an overview of the draft environmental impact report. First of all, the city several months back, we did a request for proposals of environmental consult. Over the last several months, that draft EIR has been prepared. And it's culminated now in the publishing of the document. The formality is now we have sent that to the State Clearinghouse, the agency that takes the EIR and will distribute to all state agencies for review. They got the document today, and so we believe that the 45-day review period will start tomorrow, December 15th, and that will culminate on Friday, January 28th. So during the 45-day review period, the whole point is to encourage comments from the public. The will be available on our website. We hope to get that posted on there tomorrow. We will also have it at the Grover Beach Library here in town, as well as the Regional Center over in Rio Grande. There'll be copies here available for review as well at City Hall. You can also purchase the EIR or on disc. I don't have a cost of what the printing is. It is rather voluminous, and so I would expect it to be rather pricey, but we can purchase this on computer disk as well for a you know, very reasonable price, a few dollars, I'm sure. So plenty of availability and easy access to the draft EIR. So again, necessary, and then actually publishing the final EIR, and then that's the document that will be distributed to the commission and council. So when we move forward with the public hearing process, to consider the project, you'll have that document. So all comments can be submitted here at City Hall to the Community Development Department as well. So just a little bit about the EIR and kind of how it's set up. First of all, it's really the main purpose is to inform, identify, and discuss the potential impacts of the project. Then it makes recommendations on how we can take those, quote, significant impacts and reduce those impacts to less than significant. So that's really the primary function of the EIR. It also looks at project alternatives to see if there are environmentally superior alternatives to the proposed project as well. So all that part of the EIR, just to tell you that the focus issues in this EIR that are being discussed are aesthetics, biology, air quality, traffic, geology, greenhouse gases, hydrology, and noise. So those are all studied in depth in the document. It gives you a good overview of what is to be expected.
So Bruce, with this draft EIR, there are obviously a lot of members in the audience and who are at home. Where would they be able to get a copy of the draft document to review?
Well, again, they can come here to City Hall and review them. We will have them available for public review. Again, both the local libraries, Grover Beach and the Regional Center, as well as on our website. You'll be able to download the entire EIR. So
okay, and if someone said, hey, I just want to purchase a copy, because it is fine reading, I'm sure. I haven't read a lot of these over my career, but...
They would come and purchase them at the Community Development Department.
And what's typically going to be a cost for, let's say, a CD?
Again, I think it's a nominal cost. I'm going to say $5 or less. I'll get that from the consultant for the CD.
Yes.
Yeah. This will be a little more costly, but we will get a price, and we will have some available, and if anybody wants one, we'll be happy to sell them one.
Okay. Very good. So let's see if there's any questions on the EIR, the schedule, what the public review and comment process looks like and how you can be involved in it. Because I do understand that this document is available, and B, that you have a way to be involved in the review and approval process. So, Councilmember Bright, did you have any questions on the EIR or environmental review process? Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
No.
Okay. I'm going to keep working my way this way. If you have a question, raise your hand. No? No questions? Commissioner Long.
Yeah, again, about just in terms of scheduling. So the draft EIR is going to come before the Planning Commission in March.
Yeah. The tentative schedule right now, the 45-day review period will end. We'll do the final EIR, and then we will distribute that with a staff report, and the first public hearing will be before the Planning Commission. That is tentatively scheduled for late March, probably.
Okay. So, and just looking at these other entitlements or the entitlements that are mentioned in this report, at that time, will the use permit and the site and architectural approval or recommendations be a part of that meeting, or would that be a subsequent meeting?
We're going to bring the entire project forward for your review. So what will happen then, though, is, again, Council, Planning Commission, City Council.
Okay, seeing no other hands. What I am going to do at this point is I want to open this up to the public and allow folks who want to get some clarification on the proposed project. Again, we want to make sure that we are focused in our questions. Like I said, and what I had mentioned to the commission and council was, it's not a question of what is the why did you pick this architectural style or certain elements. It's really getting clarification of the project. You will have subsequent opportunities to ask those questions in an actual public hearing after everyone has had a chance to review the document, make sure that it has been prepared in compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act and the CEQA guidelines. So. Also, if you have questions regarding the EIR and the process, so is there anyone that would like to come forward and ask a question or make a comment from the public? Yes, please make your way to the podium. City Attorney, we're okay.
Yeah, my name is Hans Hansen, and I have a question about the equestrian parking. How big is it going to be? And it was also talk about having an RV dump station there. Is that still going to be there?
Okay.
So I
get Grand Avenue. And no, we are not proposing to have the sewer dump station co-located with the equestrian staging area. So it will be just equestrian staging. We have a little berm we show here to create a buffer from the road. So I believe that that's better for the horses and creates a little bit of a safer space. The sewer dump station, as I mentioned, is being relocated to the North Beach Campground, which is depicted here, and it's not being co-located with the equestrian staging area.
How many units?
How many parking spaces?
Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. Make sure you direct your questions to me, and I'll send them to her.
Okay.
So,
well,
are
she did not answer my question.
I understand. Okay.
We actually aren't showing any parking spaces. We're just showing the area, which is, as I mentioned, over 20,000 square feet. It's an area that can be used by the equestrians in any way that they want to park. So as it is now in the existing area that equestrians park in this general location, and there are no parking spaces, they kind of figure it out. Same thing here, but we're going to have an appropriate paving surface
okay.
for horses.
So the other thing is, Okay, so I would encourage everyone that has that interest in mind to read either the full EIR or the executive summary, or just that chapter if that's what is the issue that is most concerning to you. Because this document really intended to be an informational document to answer your questions, and if you don't feel like your questions have been answered sufficiently, then we need you to put them in writing and get them to the city staff so that the city staff and the consultant team who worked in the IR can provide a response to you and bring that to the commission or the council. And if there are changes, those are the bodies that we need to give that direction. Okay. Is there anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Anita Schauer. I live at 867 North 6th Street in Grover Beach. I've lived here long enough to know that this project is about 23 years old. And I've always thought that we were building a convention center. Mm. So what I see, Mayor Schulz, is a restaurant, a swimming pool, rooms, a kiosk, a parking lot. And I know that Ms. Peterson was shut down when she asked about the size of the convention center. But I'm sure
that is incorporated into the proposed project.
Absolutely. It's actually 22,000 square feet of function room. So it's huge. For a community, for a region of this size, that's a significant meeting space. And it's paid for by the revenues from the hotel. Okay. So it doesn't.
And that 22,000 is a combination of indoor and outdoor. So.
Correct. So if you break it down, it's actually over 8,000 square feet of indoor conference space and 11,000 square feet of outdoor flex space, which okay. is on patios with sliding glass doors that open up completely. And there's also a boardroom and there's another small conference room. And all of it's flexible, so walls can be added and removed.
Okay. So there will be meeting space, and it's more fully described in the document. So
yes.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
Good evening. Tom Rader, Mongo's Saloon. I was just wondering, in the report and or in the planning, is there any concepts that you're doing to bring people come to the hotel to actually draw them up into the community and the other businesses that are up the street, like a trolley or something like that?
I wanted to speak tonight, so I don't see anyone coming. Yes. Don't leave yet, Tom. I'm going to direct that.
Greetings. Stephanie Green from Napomo Equestrian. How many stories is this structure, and does your measurement start at normal ground level or a fake ground level of like 20, 35 feet up of just like a slump stone thing where you can add more height to it? And also, what are they doing about the lease terns that do nest there in the parking area where all of, and in the dunes area and where all of the structures are?
Allison, you want to answer at least the first part of that?
Yes,
and then
I'd
Bruce,
be happy to. It's a really good question. I'm sorry I forgot to address it. The heights are, so the maximum height allowed in this area is 40 feet, and that's measured from an average plane over the entire site. And our buildings are all under the 40-foot height limit. They're actually, you know, I don't know if I can tell you right.
Compliance with our codes and standards. So.
And the height is evaluated in the environmental impact report as well. Mm-hmm. What I can tell you is the main building is a little bit taller than the other two buildings because it has the conference space, and conference space ballrooms have very high ceilings. Mm-hmm. So the first floor of the main building is much higher than the first floor of buildings 2 and 3. So they're all three stories, although all under the 40-foot height limit.
Very good. Thank you, Allison. Did you want to add anything?
I was just going to try to clarify or answer the question in more detail. Yes, the buildings are 40 feet, and the two smaller buildings are 37 feet measured from ground level. But we, in our code, we do not allow an artificial buildup of the pad site. So it is an average of the existing grade where that building is sitting. So it literally is at the grade you're seeing today.
Okay, very good.
Can you turn
The lease term, is that a disgusting hour?
I'll just say that there's a full many pages of the biological section that evaluate all potential plants and mammals and habitat and so forth. So it is all in the environmental impact report, and by all means, you know, that's
The closest lease tern nesting site that we've had is a mile and a half south, Arroyo Grande Creek.
Okay.
So lease terns don't nest in that area.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for that. I would just suggest if you read the IR and you have evidence to the contrary, submit it, and we will pass it on to the biologist. Okay? Yes.
Hi, good evening. Pam Krall from San Luis Obispo. Question concerning the attention that you've given to the habitat and the dunes under the project and that sort of thing. Is there any sense of how likely this is to pass the Coastal Commission with the large chunk of the dunes missing or moved out of that area to accommodate the equestrian area?
Thank you for that question, Pam. And I think we'd all say there's... We certainly can't speak for the Coastal Commission. all we can really do is accept the project as presented, go through our entitlement process and the environmental process, and then apply to the Coastal Commission and see where it goes, see how long it takes, and so yeah, can't really.
Very nice. It's been presented quite well, and I was at that 5 or 5.5 hour meeting the other night at the master plan. And if the master plan is incorporated in this, this is going to bring, I think, a lot of people into our town and bring them up Grand Avenue. And the businesses as well as the residents are going to get quite a bit of an enjoyment out of this. So hopefully, as we do this, we look at that master plan, and there's so much that has to be done on that still. But once it is, if it's all incorporated, I think it's going to be a very nice project.
Great. Thank you, Linda. Okay, I'm going to... one more.
Good evening. John Vaught, Grover Beach. My concern is I live in Lesage, and the traffic impact for Lesage. If there are any... new accesses being proposed.
Thank you, Mr. Vaught. Mr. Buckingham?
The traffic section in the EIR does address the new vehicle trips that are generated by the project. I would just add that really...
This is public comment on this item, but again, this is just the tip of the iceberg, and we would encourage you... Oh, let me ask the city attorney. There have been some questions here tonight, some that we can't fully answer because no one's really read the EIR other than maybe staff in an administrative draft form. So, like Mr. Rader's question, is that something we can capture and then have it answered or evaluated through the public view and comment process?
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Mayor, Honorable Chair, Council members and Commission members. I think that... in order for it to be formally responded to in the EIR, my recommendation would be that any of those types of concerns or comments, after you have an opportunity to review the EIR, be submitted in writing to City Hall. Part of the process, as identified by the Community Development Director, that every comment in writing that is submitted will be responded to in the final EIR.
Okay.
Additionally, once the final EIR is being... contemplated, reviewed, and acted on by both the Planning Commission and the City Council, public will have an opportunity at that point in time to also present their concerns orally. I would, however, encourage everyone who has concerns about this project or questions that are not answered to go through it, because you will find that vast majority of those issues will be responded. Some of them may not be the responses that you want to see, but they are looked at and addressed and evaluated. And that's where your comments would be helpful in finalizing the document.
Okay, very good. So at this point, what I want to do is All right, Bruce, you have something else?
You know, I was just going to add for clarification that this is the environmental impact report, and if the questions are environmental in nature, they will be addressed. Some questions aren't really necessarily environmentally oriented, and they're not going to get addressed in here, but that's where the public hearing process comes in and going to the Planning Commission, because all those things fall under the purview of the project. So just to make the clarification between the two.
Okay, thank you. That's a great clarification. So, way to earn your money tonight. So I'm sorry. I've closed to public. Yes, and what I would recommend anyone here to do, if you still have questions, just put them in writing, or better yet, you could capture one of these gentlemen sitting at this table afterwards and ask them a question. If you don't like their answer, then I'll be following them shortly. You're going to be hanging around for a little while as well. Okay. All right. Thank you. So let's see if there are some comments from the council and the commission. I want to start with the commissioners. Any comments over here? I think Commissioner LaFerrier.
I think I've just started on my beginning of my written comments, so I think I'll save it for there until I can review the whole thing.
Very good. Any comments from the council?
The only comment I have is I do appreciate Allison. Good to see you again. I think you've done an excellent job, and continue working with you is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, very good. And so just to thank everyone for their work on this at a staff level, and thank everyone for being here, because this really is the beginning of the process. The environmental document is an informational document to inform the public that there's a project and what the potential impacts are and what the feasible mitigation measures are, and if there are any remaining effects from the project. And then we will address these, and you will have many, many other opportunities to comment on the project, to comment on the EIR before the Planning Commission. I believe we talked about February or March, and before the City Council. And it doesn't stop developer. We believe they will hopefully be able to answer your questions sufficiently. And so, again, thanks everyone for coming here tonight, and we hope you'll stay engaged in this process. With that, if there's no other comments from my colleagues, I believe we are going to be adjourned.
Don't leave without your